Hey everyone! It's been said that every quilt has a story, and it's so true. But also, I believe every quilter has a story. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. On this episode, I visited an amazing woman, Jean Pickering. You're going to enjoy hearing how she reinvented herself through the different stages of life while all along having the hobby of quilting. I had such a fun time hearing her story and seeing many of her wonderful quilts. Let's get started. Welcome to A Quilter's Life, Jean.
Thank you, Paula.
We want to start out with your background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Williamstown, West Virginia, and I have lived here most of my adult life. I moved to a farm in Lowell, Ohio, and lived there for 30 years, primarily because I was a pilot and we had an airstrip in the backyard.
Oh, cool.
So that was another season of our lives. My husband liked to build and rebuild antique airplanes, and I liked to fly, so we combined that, and that was my business, my life. And then I had my hobby of quilting, which I had always had from the time the kids were little. And I did not learn quilting from my mother. My mother learned it from me. It was something a little different.
Yeah.
But when I was living in Williamstown, I went to West Virginia Wesleyan College and took home economics. So I always had made my own clothing and curtains and drapes and did that for a living. And then when the kids were growing up, I made all of their clothes. And of course, there were always scraps left over. So I decided one time I wanted to make a quilt, and it was a triple Irish chain. Well, I didn't know. There were no books because this was in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And the surgence of reinvention of quilting came in the 70s, in 76, to correspond with the bicentennial of our country.
Oh.
So that's when they brought up quilting. And of course, then it took off. So there were no books or anything around. I just got some graph paper and colored in squares and picked a size and started sewing. I had no idea there was a quarter-inch seam or anything. So,
were you making them with the 5/8 seam then, if you were used to sewing?
Yes. And then the other thing was I had no idea about fabrics. So the fabrics I was sewing together were corduroy and gingham and seersucker and whatever was left from the kids' clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned very quick, well, this is too bulky. So,
well, at that point, were you making a sandwich or were you just making a front, top and bottom?
Well, I made the tops and made the bottoms, and then I had gotten for a wedding gift, that was the year that we got married in 55. Everybody gave everybody those big puffy comforts that were slippery and fell off the bed and slid off one side. You couldn't sleep under them. So I used that for the sandwich. It was polyester.
Yeah.
That was the year polyester was invented, you know. They didn't have that before. So I put this polyester in and sandwiched it and made blankets for the kids. So that was okay.
Yeah.
Then there was a lady down the street had a double wedding ring cut out in a box. And I still have the box. And I still have the pieces. And they were ghastly materials. I'd be ugly. So I saw that it was a quarter inch seam. And it was all done by hand. I figured, well, you know, there's some cardboard patterns in there. I can figure this out. That's what I did. So I made a double wedding ring. Then I learned about the quarter inch seam. So I made the triple Irish chain. Gave that to my sister for her wedding. So made a quilt for my brother and his wife. They've been married 50 years now. So I know that I've been quilting at least that long. So
wow.
It just evolved.
It does. I've heard people say that you know you're a quilter when everybody you know has a quilt you made, just about.
That's right.
So you mentioned being a pilot. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, my husband got his license in the late 60s, and we went on a couple of trips. And I said, well, what would happen if something happened to you? And he said, well, you go down with the plane. And I said, well, I didn't like that idea.
No.
So I thought, well, the thing to do is to take some flying lessons and learn to land. Well, that didn't appeal to me. So I took some flying lessons and I decided, if you're going to do something, you go all the way and you learn all there is. So I did that. Then I discovered, hey, I can go without him. So then I started taking the kids on short trips. We went up to Cedar Point and spent the day, and I just enjoyed flying around and taking the kids, and took the kids to Florida for spring break and things like that. So it was good. Then went to my first long out of the long, long cross country, I guess. I went to Kansas City, Missouri to a convention. And that was a long ways away. And I thought,
yeah.
Gee, I can go this far. I can go the rest of the way. So, so in 76, they had the Powder Puff Derby, which was the all women's transcontinental air race, which was all women flyers. And they had 200 airplanes in the race. And this other girl from Wheeling, she and I decided we would like to enter. So we were 196.
So there was a pilot and a co-pilot?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. And we flew, it was the bicentennial year, it was 1976. And I had a Cub Scout den at the time. So we drew a big map of the United States on our driveway and painted it. And then I had, the race went from Sacramento, California to Wilmington, Delaware. It always went clear across country.
Okay, so it went from
transcontinental.
West to east. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we flew the race, and the kids learned to learn geography from where mother was. So. That was fun, very exciting.
How long did that trip take?
It took 5 days. Well, it took us 5 days to get out and 5 days to get back and 5 days out there. So we were gone for quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable. The women, it was very exciting to be with other women pilots. When I learned to fly around here, I was the only one. There were no other women's voices on the radio. And it was, you know, you kind of stuck out like a sore thumb because there's a women's voice. And now there are women controllers, women pilots, women airline pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
It's how it should be.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. That's great. I know a friend that grew up here in Williamstown, and she's now an airplane pilot. She's probably around her early 30s at this point right now. And I know she's going to love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, in order to pay for all the ratings, because when you get your private license, then you get add-on ratings. You have your instrument rating, your commercial, your multi-engine, then I have seaplane and commercial. So you progress up through. But to earn the money for those, I started my own sign painting business, which is another male-oriented business. But I had my own sign painting business for 30 years.
Wow. So what kind of signs?
for sale, letter trucks for companies, and signs for anything, for any business. That was before they came out with vinyl letters.
You know? It had to be painted.
It had to be lettered on. Uh-huh. And
Did you use templates for that?
Yes, but I made my own templates. Mm-hmm. I did with graph paper and laid it all out, and then used a perforation and powdered chalk to put the markings up, and then painted them.
Oh.
So.
That sounds very similar to what you had to do for your quilts in laying them out.
That's why it didn't bother me. And it was big. There was one sign I made that was a 4x8 sheet of plywood. It was 10 sheets of plywood. And it said Evergreen. It was Evergreen Motel, something like that. And it was on a barn up on the interstate. Now that sign is still there, but it says McDonald's.
Okay. I think I've seen that sign.
Yeah. When you're coming south on I-77, yeah, just above the Caldwell exit,
or yeah,
down this side of Caldwell. So I used to, that was the biggest sign I made. And then I did another big one for DuPont with all of the brands that they had, which was Remington, and, you know, they had a whole bunch of different things.
Wow.
Lots of fun.
Uh-huh. Those are some interesting hobby jobs.
Yeah.
What else have you done?
Raised 4 kids. I was always a scout leader. I have 2 boys that are Eagle Scouts. And always was very involved in scouting and in the church. I go to the Methodist Church here in Williamstown. So the kids were raised in the church and in the scout troops, had the Girl Scout troops, and Cub Scout den. I felt like I was forever the den mother.
Yeah.
Then I did, I was den leader coach, training the other den leaders. They used to be den mothers. Now they're den leaders.
Yeah.
Because they can be men.
Mm-hmm.
So. Always have been active in recycling, helped get the Marietta Recycling Center going. So I can't think, you know.
Yeah, lots of things.
I became a flight instructor and
here at the
taught other people.
At Wood County Airport?
At Wood County, mm-hmm. Taught other people to fly. And I was an instrument instructor, so I taught instrument,
yeah,
and flight instruction. So I was a pilot for 47 years.
47, wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to go up now?
Yep. After my husband passed away, the farm was too much for us to keep up, so I sold the farm, and I have sold it to a young man who's living his dream, and he has his own airstrip and his airplanes, and so he's thoroughly enjoying. Checkpoint Charlie is the name,
yeah,
of the airport. So he's enjoying it, and I'm blessed that he is. We sold all the airplanes. The last one, the one that I dearly loved, I sold it, and I bought a camper. And I moved it to Florida, and that's my quilt retreat.
Uh-huh.
So it's all set up to quilt, and I don't cook. I just like to, that's my place to go and sit and sew and do whatever I want.
So how many sewing machines do you have?
I'm down to 5.
Now, do you have some up here in, mm-hmm, West Virginia, and some,
yes,
down in Florida?
No, none in Florida. I have my Pfaff as my everyday machine, and then I also keep a Singer Featherweight that travels with me as my backup machine. if you don't have a Singer Featherweight, everybody should have a Singer Featherweight. But it's the most standard, basic little machine. And that's what I sewed on all through college. I took that to college with me and enjoyed. I never was afraid to tackle anything.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, whether it came out good or bad, I tackled it. So, made my daughter's wedding dress. Mother and I made my wedding dress. My husband and I would have been married 63 years ago today, or this month. So, but, you know, looking at your life, it's everything is a season. You have a different mm-hmm. season. You have the raising your children. You have your own growing up as another season, and your dependence on your parents. And you have to go and evolve yourself from one season to another. And widowhood is another season. And so, yeah, I'm reinventing myself. And you have to move on.
Yeah.
So I have, from the time I was in high school, there was a song that was popular. Those faraway places I've been dreaming about from a book that I took from the shelf. And I always wanted to travel. My parents loved to travel. And I was married with children when they took the dream of a lifetime, which was they took the trip to Europe for 3 months, and they went to the Holy Land and Egypt and all up through Europe and Germany and clear up to the Arctic Circle. So they were gone 3 months, bought a Volkswagen van back in the 60s. But I didn't get to do that. So I always wanted to travel. Well, my husband and I have finally talked him into, well, let's just try it. So we went to England with another couple and traveled on the train. We didn't know what we were doing, and it was not a real successful trip because we didn't have any place booked in advance.
Yeah.
It was go there, find a place. And so it was not a successful trip. And I said, okay, the next time we go any place, I'm going to take a tour, and you put your suitcase on the bus and go around. Then they'll take it off and take it to the hotel room.
Right.
So I have been traveling with Overseas Adventure Travel, which is small group travel. There's 16 to a group. I've been to Australia, New Zealand, and Peru, Argentina, Chile, Easter Island, which was, I always wanted to go to Easter Island. And I have yet to do the Galapagos. And I worked in a national park out in New Mexico for one season. Then I went to Africa. I went to Scandinavian countries, the Holy Land. Most every place in Europe Italy and France, mm-hmm. Germany, the Adriatic. I enjoy this company also has a small ship cruise, which is no more than 90 passengers, which is not like those gargantuan Caribbean things. But I have really enjoyed meeting the people.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good food, very nice accommodations, and excellent tours. I really, really like those. So my next adventure is Java and Bali, which is on the equator, and that's coming up the end of August. I'll go to California and go from there to Java and Bali from mm-hmm. California.
One of my quilting Facebook friends, I haven't met her in person yet, she has taken a couple trips to Bali and gotten fabric there.
The batiks.
The batiks are made mm-hmm. there. So are you looking forward to finding something like that while you're there?
I really am, because I've just finished putting together a trip around the world, which is a quilt pattern, trip around the world. But it's fabrics that I have bought at different places around the world.
Around
so
the
I
world.
Have Africa, and I have, of course, I have a corner for the United States, because I believe in my country and love my country and respect my country. So I have lots of red, white, and blue. But then I also have the California poppies and the rhododendron of West Virginia. So it's just a lot of different countries represented.
Yeah. How perfect for around the world quilt. That's really neat.
So what I can't put on the front, I'll put on the back.
That's, some people make their backs just all the same material, and some people piece their backs. Do you piece your backs then? Or does it depend on the quilt?
It just depends on what's doing at the time.
Yeah.
And as far as hand quilting, I used to always hand quilt. And now that I'm of an advanced age and like to travel, I have found that I like to do these other things and make the quilt tops. And I have a super fantastic friend down in Florida. And she was also a pilot, too. She's a glider pilot. So she has a long arm, so she does the long arm stitching.
Yeah, and they can do beautiful
she does
work,
a
don't they?
Beautiful job, yes.
Well, you kind of mentioned already who introduced you to quilting, so you kind of had to work through that yourself, right?
That's right. I worked. There was I speak of people as being an elderly lady. Well, I am an elderly lady now, but gosh, everybody else in those days seemed ancient, you know, the elderly lady down the street. But when she gave me that box of the double wedding ring, that was, and I have made, since then, I've made 3 double wedding rings. That was one of the first ones I made for my brother when he and his wife got married, and they're celebrating their 50th. And then when we celebrated, my husband and I celebrated our 50th, it was the same year my granddaughter got married. So I made a double wedding ring, wall hanging with applique roses on it. And I made it in to be representative of the golden anniversary.
Yeah.
So that hung in the church as a banner during her wedding.
Nice.
So I gave it to the church. You know, quilters give things away because,
yes,
you know, so that's what quilters do.
We do. Yes, definitely. Well, you mentioned that you hand quilted a lot, and now you pass it on to a long arm. But when you're putting your quilts together, do you have a favorite tool of the different tools that you use in your quilting?
To put them together? Nope. There's one sitting over there, and I put them in the frame, and I keep them loose, laying over top of the frame.
Yeah. Well,
put
like
the backing in.
In cutting your pieces out, do
the rotary cutter and the
yeah
and the rulers. Yes, I use creative grids. I like those the best, and I like the rotary cutter. In fact, in Florida, when I was looking for my camper, I sold my airplane. I was looking for a camper. I had looked for 2 years because I had this in the back of my mind. This is what I want to do. I don't want to stay here because I don't like cold. And I don't want to fall and break a hip and sit in a rest home the rest of my life. So I didn't want to do that. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get a camper that I can use for quilting. So I would go to every trailer park and every camper dealership, and I'd look in and look around, and is this what I want? Is this what I want? and I looked for one that had the stove and refrigerator, and then they always stuck the sink right in an awkward place that it cut up the whole countertop. So,
yeah.
So I looked for one that had the sink off to the side, so I had this great big countertop, which is what I have. But I just stick my head in. Nope, this isn't the right one. Had to have flooring so that I didn't have threads in the carpet.
Yeah.
And it had to have a bump out. And my side that bumps out is a couch and a booth seat. And that's where my sewing machine sits.
Uh-huh.
And then my bins sit on either side in the booth seat. We don't eat there. And so it just suits me fine.
Nice.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm a happy camper. I have a shirt that says that. I should say, happy quilter camper. Happy camper quilter.
As I learned the quilt, I realized there are so many parts to the process. There's probably more parts than this, but like the design, the piecing of it, the sandwiching of it, the quilting of it, and doing the binding. But do you have a favorite part, or do you like just each stage?
Being a sign painter, I tried my hand at paintings, art paintings, and I decided, no, that you have to have someone want to buy it and put it on your wall, because you don't have room on your walls for all those paintings that you'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the art. I like the design. I like someone else's design, but I don't care for their colors. I like my own colors. And I was very fortunate to have a really good friend all these years that had a quilt shop, Effie Townsend.
Okay.
And she had a quilt shop in Marietta. So we painted a quilt on her parking lot. She was over there in Tiber Way.
Oh, okay.
In front of where Brighter Day is,
yeah,
and all
I
of
know
that.
Where Tiber
okay.
Way is.
Well, that's where we had the big quilt in front of her quilt shop for Ohio had a bicentennial,
yeah,
or something.
I wish I had been into quilting then.
Yeah. But she had a real good shop. And so, like that quilt, she wanted to sell the kits. So I bought the kit, made it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that particular quilt is Tuscan Sun. So
it's beautiful. And for those, I hope to take a picture of that so we can show that on my website.
So yes, I love the artistry of picking colors and putting together colors. Colors have always been good for me. And then the other thing about Effie and my relationship, when she wanted to go to a quilt show or something in Wisconsin, I was her pilot, so we would go together.
Oh.
So we flew together. And then later on, her husband decided he wanted to learn to fly. So I did the lessons and taught Gail how to fly. So we always have laughed about the four of us had,
yeah,
real good friendships. We went to Branson, Missouri, and to New Mexico. And so we've done some traveling, too.
That's neat. Jumping back to pilots, I need to ask, did you ever go to Oshkosh?
Of course. That's the Mecca for,
yeah,
pilots. Everybody has to go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And in fact, there were seven of us that flew together in an airplane, seven pilots in an airplane. And it was a good trip. We slept under the wings. We camped out up there. But it was so big and so crowded. My husband went back several times after that with, mm-hmm, friends. But we mostly like to go to Lakeland, which is Sun and Fun, Lakeland, Florida. and it was always in the spring, April, around Easter time. And it's always in Lakeland, Florida, and that's kind of a mini Oshkosh.
Okay. Okay.
So you see the home builds. Yeah. And of course, my husband being a builder, he was a home built. He liked the home builds and the antique airplanes. He liked to rebuild antique airplanes. And we still have one, and it's 75 years old this year. Yeah, 43, 70. Yeah. And so it is, it's an antique. But it's an old warbird.
Huh.
It's a real sweet little airplane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You keep that at Wood County?
At Wood County.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. This is just, I throw up for fun. What was your worst quilting experience?
Worst quilting experience? I guess... I think the worst one was my grandson wanted a green. He wanted green. Green is not my palette. I like green in the grass and green in the trees, but I do not go for green in a quilt. I mean, it just, I have to soften the blow with that. So I decided to make him a green quilt, and it took me about 12 years. I started it, put it up on, I have a design wall in the quilt room,
eight by eight,
and I put it up on the design wall, and I mean, it's turned my stomach for so long, I packed it up in a box, in a pizza box. You put them all your quilt blocks in a pizza box and put it on the shelf. Well, a couple of years ago when I got this camper in Florida, I decided, you know, this is the time to weed out those pizza boxes and empty them out and get rid of. So I put it together, and I finished that quilt. I call it, it's not easy being green. And I put frogs in there for Kermit, because it's not easy to be a green quilt. But
I bet he loved it.
No one has said, oh, I love that quilt. You know, people will look at a quilt you made and they say, oh, I love that. Okay, it's yours. Don't ever say, you love my quilts. But this one, no one ever said, oh, I love that. So it's in the stash of things that someday when I'm gone and they have to pick, they'll say, we don't like him. Give him that quilt. So that's my biggest quilting disaster. And then another time I wanted to do Hawaiian applique.
Uh-huh.
So a friend, Barb Robinson, and I decided we would do Hawaiian applique. So we took a class in how to do it, because it is different than an applique.
Yeah.
A Hawaiian applique is a cut and fold and do it as you go along. So together we did, and we both came out with beautiful Hawaiian applique quilts. But mine's a very wild Hawaii. Hers is a very gentle Hawaii.
Isn't it amazing how people can do the same pattern, same thing, and it
entirely,
just by their choices, it's so different.
Just a change of fabrics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're both beautiful, you know, no matter what you put together.
Yeah. Yeah. That first class I took with my friend, our quilts, you really have to look to realize that's the same pattern.
Yeah.
They're just so different.
Yeah. And there are some, when I go to a quilt show, I go with an open heart, because, and Effie taught me this, maybe that's the best she could do, you know? So you're very accepting and kind with your remarks and what you say. It may not be what you wanted. Like, it's not easy being green.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have that one draped over my casket saying this was the best she could do. But, you know, I have my favorites that I've made, and I have my favorites of other people's that I've seen. So,
do you have a very top of the list favorite one you've done?
Yeah, that one up there, and it's called Nancy and Me. Nancy Henderson and I did that together. We both chose a palette, so it was antique red, white, and blue. So then we. And it's got a lot of orphan blocks in it that are left over from other things. And we just filled in. It's called a random sampler. And it's just
beautiful.
A hodgepodge. And that was when we went to a quilt retreat. So we traded blocks. She'd make a couple and I'd make a couple and we'd switch around.
Yeah.
Trade blocks. So that one made a magazine. It was in a magazine called Quilt Sampler.
It's just beautiful.
And I like the other one over there. It's called Winding Ways. And it's hand-pieced, hand-quilted. So.
Wow. That must have taken a long time if you hand-pieced all that.
Oh, that's the third one. I made two others.
Wow.
And Grandmother's Flower Garden, which is a hand-piece. I've made three of those also.
Wow.
In fact, I always carried those little quilt patties around and covered those and sew them together whenever I got a whole pile of them. So that was, you just carry stuff around. It keeps your hands busy.
Yeah.
But now that I have to do my own driving when I go someplace and...
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
It makes a difference, yeah. It cuts in on my time. But I am volunteering out at the Welcome Center, and I thoroughly enjoy that. And I have a quilt project that I'm working on. So I lay it up on the counter, and the women will come over. I mean, it's like a magnet.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a quilter, and here's what I've made. So everybody carries your cell phone with their pictures on it, so... So it's good, and their husbands are supportive. They'll come over and say, oh, my wife's a quilter, you know. So, and we give directions to where places to go in West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
We promote West Virginia.
Yeah.
They're either, they've driven through West Virginia, or they're just coming into West Virginia, because we're the last exit before you leave, or the first exit when you come in. So.
Yeah.
It's a good place to work. It isn't work. It's my time to share with people. I love people.
Yeah.
I'm a people person.
That's so neat that it gives you some time to work on your quilt stuff too, but to be available.
Promote West Virginia. Yep.
I have a question here. Why do you make quilts? Like, who do you usually make them for?
I think a quilt is an outlet for your artistic abilities. It's an outlet for your emotions, because you can't be sad inside and sit and make a happy quilt.
Yeah.
And most of my quilts are happy, except for that poor little green one. And it turned out to be a big quilt. I mean, it's a big quilt. And the other thing, I love to share them. I like to, my son has a business called Pickering Associates, and it's an old timber frame barn. So it has lots of lofty space that needed quilts. I said, you really need quilts hanging up there. So I made a great big log cabin barn raising pattern quilt. And then I made hole in the barn door for a wall hanging. So those were appropriate. Then I got carried away, and then there's a bear claw, and there's two other ones hanging up. So I kind of, that was a good place to share and put up the quilts.
Yeah. We always find someone that needs them, don't we?
Yeah. So that was, I just like to fill them up. Yeah.
Well, what I see here is are so beautiful. The, what do you call this one that's on your couch?
Keep the kids off the couch. I made that because my grandson was living with me and always laid down and scrunched around on the couch. And that's how kids do. They do not sit on a chair. They lay on the couch, which was, I thought, well, I'll just make a big quilt to cover it up. So that suits me fine.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with me today. I really appreciate it. And it's so good to hear about your quilting and your hobbies. And this was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula. I appreciate your doing this. Thank you so very much.